Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you are with us today for this Wednesday edition of Basic Gospel. The phone lines are open for you, for your calls right now, 844-322-2742. They will be welcome if you pick up that phone right now. We'd like for you to be a part of this edition. For Bible questions or for any personal issue you might be facing, give us a call. Again, 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley joins us today, and Andrew, always good to have you, and excited about today's program.
Yeah, me too, Bob. Great to be with you.
Yeah, well, let's talk about something that's near and dear to your heart. I've certainly seen some recent posts on some of your social media accounts about this new heart that we've been given as a result of our new birth in Christ Jesus. Romans 6 says this. This is late in the chapter, Paul talking about slaves to righteousness and all of these sort of things. And he says this, "But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed." So it's talking about the fact that we're now obedient from the heart. And I know there's probably many listeners out there, and certainly I fit into this category for a long time. I certainly didn't feel obedient from the heart. I didn't feel like that was the case. But here it says that as new creatures in Christ, we've become obedient from the heart. What exactly is Paul telling us there?
Well, it makes all the sense in the world because, you know, otherwise it's fake it till you make it. This idea that you're dirty, but you need to act clean. You're sinful, but you need to act righteous. You're bad, but you need to act good. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's a horrible way to wake up and try to live the Christian life. God has not set us up for failure. Instead, he's equipped us from the heart. So every time you read a passage about put off bitterness or put off resentment or put on love or put on Christ, those expressions are simply descriptive. Yes, they're prescriptive because they're telling you what attitude to have, but they're also descriptive of who you are and what makes you tick and what fulfills you and what works for you. So God is basically saying wear clothes that fit. I mean, if you're holy and righteous and blameless and new at the core, then go ahead and think new thoughts and go ahead and take hold of these new perspectives that God has given you. So the bottom line is, Bob, if I believe I'm a dirty worm, but I'm supposed to live like a righteous saint, then I've got a conflict there, and I'm never truly going to understand how great the gospel is. But, I mean, my goodness, the gospel is off the charts incredible. It starts with a new heart and a new spirit and God's spirit living in you. And then these instructions for daily living, I mean, all they really are is an outward expression of who you already are in Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right. I love how Major Thomas described obedience. And he starts like this, that it starts with the love of God that manifests itself in our love for God, which turns into dependence upon God, which then results in obedience to God. So we see that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts in full measure. And that's exciting news. So our hearts, as we're trusting the Lord, are just going to manifest that love toward others. And it's a beautiful thing the way God has set it up.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at the idea that we're forgiven. That's exciting. But how about this? You're forgiving. You're a forgiving person now. He took out your bitter heart. He took out your resentful heart. He didn't just make you forgiven. He made you forgiving. You're not just loved by God, but you're now loving. He poured his love in your heart, as you said, And this new heart that we have is prone toward dependency. It's prone toward godliness. It has a, there's a pattern and a trend. There's a new default setting. That's what we're saying. Your heart has this default setting. I mean, Paul's not just giving neutral language here. He's saying, literally, he says, you're a slave of righteousness. Now, that means that just like you used to be addicted to sin, now you're addicted to righteousness. And, you know, you don't have to feel this. You don't even have to believe this. But if Christ has done it, if he's done it in your heart, then you're sure better off getting in touch with reality rather than that silly delusion that you want to sin and that sin is going to pay off. No way. God has made you a slave of righteousness.
Righteousness, indeed. So, loving, forgiving, righteousnessing, is that what we could say there?
Amen.
That's the reality for all of us. Well, this is good news. So, folks, if you're listening, there's no need to struggle and try to act and pretend and become something that you're not. Just be who you are. God has made you righteous. He has imparted his righteousness to you. And you are obedient from the heart. That trust, that desire to trust is there. It's in you. So just live it out, and I'm telling you, your life will never be the same.
Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. And friends, thank you for being with us. We'd like for you to be a part of the broadcast. If you have something to talk about, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Andrew, it's an exciting time at Basic Gospel and the Grace Message. As right in front of us, we have this amazing $90,000 matching gift grant. Give us your thoughts on what this can mean moving forward into the new year.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is a rare opportunity. It comes at the perfect time. Obviously, God is in the midst of this. This is amazing. We're so grateful to have this matching grant opportunity. And what it means is that if you give $100 to Basic Gospel, it becomes $200. If you give $500, it becomes $1,000, all the way up to $90,000, because we've had a generous donor come forward, make this happen for us until the end of the year. We've got this unique opportunity in the month of December. And I said it comes at the perfect time, guys, because of everything we've announced. Yeah. I mean, there is so much to look forward to in the new year, a new studio for radio broadcasts, for video production, all kinds of new fellowship opportunities, conferences we'll be putting on. You know, this exciting merger and opportunity to move forward is going to mean we can reach even more people with the love and grace of God. So if you've ever thought about giving a special gift to Basic Gospel, this is the month to do so. Your gift is doubled.
Yes. As Bob says, matching that as a amazing gift offer is like nothing
like nothing we've seen before,
and it's going to move the message forward like nothing before.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Andrew, I think that's what we're going to see in the new year, this grace message going out like never before. And that's actually what we're calling this matching grant challenge. And we want you to come join us, to come be a part of what God is doing, what God is putting together, what God is orchestrating through this merger. And let's together see this message go forth like never before in our history of, as a ministry. And hopefully it will just be momentum that will keep this message going for a long, long, long time through Basic Gospel and through the Grace Message as we roll over the calendar to 2022.
So, friends, make your gift now, if possible, at basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. Something on your mind? Let us hear about it. Let us talk with you about it. 844-322-2742. Guys, we have this question from Linda. What do you say to people who use Acts 2:38 to support baptism as a commandment for salvation?
Yeah, well, obviously, you got to look beyond one single passage and look at the whole thrust of the New Testament. But we'll start with Acts 2:38. It says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And, you know, the bottom line is people are trying to make an argument out of one verse and, I would say, one word as this sort of becomes a debate that you see on the internet and all over the Christian world. People are looking at this word for, and you look at it in the original language, and it's not necessarily the idea of causing something. I don't get baptized to cause forgiveness of sins, but I would celebrate in water. I would get baptized to celebrate in light of the forgiveness of sins that I have in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, what do? We go to Hebrews. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We look at the whole message of the New Testament. We see Paul saying, I did not come to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What does that tell you? That baptizing people in water doesn't save them, but it's a beautiful thing. And Paul happened to have baptized some people in Corinth, but he certainly, that wasn't his mission. That wasn't his central message. His message was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. His message was that by grace you are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. So there is a baptism that saves, but it's not physical. There's a baptism that saves, but it's not water. The baptism that saves is when we are immersed in Christ. I mean, you could kind of say loosely that we show up on this planet baptized into Adam. We're baptized into Adam. We're baptized into the flesh. What do we need? Well, we need a transfer. So he takes us out of Adam. He puts us in Christ. He takes us out of the flesh. He puts us in the Spirit. We're born again. That's what saves us. But as far as Acts 2:38, I mean, what's really happening as Peter makes this announcement is he's saying, change your mind. Change your mind about the gospel message and celebrate all that Jesus Christ is to you and what he's done for you. And it's in light of the forgiveness of sins that we have through the cross. It's blood, not water, that brings forgiveness.
Yeah. Andrew, do you think as Peter was saying that, and certainly the Spirit of God moved him to say that at that particular time, that it had Jewish connotations, the fact that they were so reliant upon all of the ritual cleansings and that sort of thing, that God just said, hey, I want you to jump in with Christ, because that's where the real cleansing is.
Yeah, so think about what baptism was. That's a great point. I mean, before Jesus, what was baptism? Well, it was associating with a certain belief system. It was associating with a certain movement, and even associating with a certain crowd. Look at John the Baptist, who baptized people. When you were baptized in water by him, it meant that you were aligning with a certain belief system, a certain movement, a certain person. And so likewise, I mean, this is a public alignment. Hey, if you've been aligning with the Jewish law, if you've been aligning with the temple practices, how about you align yourself with Jesus publicly and proclaim that he is Lord?
Yes, indeed.
Well, it's Basic Gospel. The voice you hear is Andrew Farley and Bob Christopher, and we would love to hear your voice by phone at 844-322-2742. Any Bible question, any particular issue you'd like to discuss, the lines are open for you right now, 844-322-2742. Well, from Linda to Lynn, and Lynn has a question about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. The question is it necessary that the story of Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden be an actual, factual, historical event, or can it be thought of as a metaphor? Are there any serious ramifications for the foundation of our faith that would disallow the Genesis creation story from being only a metaphor?
Well, the bottom line is we have other mentions of Adam. We have mentions of Adam and Eve, and that we came from one man. I mean, you know, the New Testament talks about that. You start eroding what we know to be true about the origins of humanity, guys, and you're not just toying with a story in Genesis. You end up taking away from or seeking to delete the opinions of the apostles, the opinion of Jesus. I mean, this is about the Word of God, the living Word being Christ himself. This is about Paul, who talks about how we are in Adam when we show up on this planet. That's a spiritual reality, that we're dead in our sins, dead in Adam, and then we come to life in Christ. You know, we, even though the world rejects it, the New Testament proclaims that we all came from one person. And you know, you start playing with the Old Testament and taking and leaving parts that you like and don't like, and next thing you know, you're calling the apostles liars. So you've got a bigger issue, Bob, than just a personal opinion about Genesis 1. This is important to the whole message of the gospel, that God is our designer. We're not here by accident. We are here on purpose. God has a plan for us. That plan has been executed through Jesus Christ. There's an offer on the table. Get out of Adam, get into Christ, and be made new.
Yes, indeed. I know, Andrew, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you know, some of the mainline denominations, they were starting to become more liberal, and they were taking this type of view of Scripture, that it really wasn't factual. It was just more like Aesop's fables. You know, you're just, they're just trying to make a good point, help you feel better, help you live the best version of your life. So they took all the historical parts out and just kind of left us with a feel good book, you know, something that could encourage us. But really, when you do that, that robs the cross of its power, the resurrection of its power. Pretty soon you're starting to look at that as simply a metaphor, that it wasn't a real event in human history. And when you do that, boy, it just takes Christianity off the table, doesn't it?
Yeah, here's Acts 17:26. Just as one example, it says, "From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." So just notice that. From one man he made all the nations, Acts 17:26. So we're not just toying with Genesis 1, folks. When we start rewriting history, when we start proclaiming that this is just a metaphor, this Adam and Eve thing is just a metaphor, well, how about Romans 5? I mean, it says, "As through one, the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous." So are we going to accept the second half of that verse about being made righteous through one, and then reject the first half of that verse and say we weren't made sinners by one man? Do you see? We're not just toying with Genesis. We're, at that point, starting to rewrite the whole message, and that's not our prerogative. We submit to God's Word. We don't have to understand it all, but God is just plastered throughout the Scriptures that we came from one place, from His creation, Adam and Eve, and that's literal.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, and we'd love to hear from you. We still have time on the clock, 844-322-2742.
Yes, we do. And Andrew wanted to get to this question. It's from Mike, and it's a question about the cross and about the sacrifices of the Old Testament. He says, "Atonement for sins in the Old Testament means to cover sins, because it says the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins. So is it right for me to be bothered when I hear pastors on the radio or behind the pulpit try to describe what Jesus did on the cross as atonement?"
Yeah, I think there's something there to glean for sure. I mean, they called it the Day of Atonement, and it was never enough. They were atoning, and then next year, atoning again. You could look at it as a covering year after year, repeatedly, endlessly. It was never done. No priest held up an animal and said, "It is finished," because it was never finished. And no priest could sit down on the job, because they had to stand always offering more and more sacrifice. basis. And so what's unique about Christ is not that he atoned for sins, but that he took them away. And as, you know, we already mentioned, you can't take away sins without blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Christ did not appear to cover sins. He appeared to take them away. That's why this pronouncement by John the Baptist is so incredible. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's almost like he's saying, this is greater, this is better than the Day of Atonement. Look, look at this lamb, look at this sacrifice. It is superior. And so, yeah, it's not just picking at words. There's a concept to understand here. Jesus did a greater work, and our sins are gone. They are removed as far as the east is from the west. They're remembered no more. So, Bob, the New Testament word for that, propitiation. That means that God is fully satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice, and that's something we can count on, that he'll never do anything else ever again to take away our sins. They're already gone.
Good news.
Yes, it
that's
is.
Good
yeah.
news right
yeah.
there. So always remember, he took them away, and you stand before God as a forgiven person.
Indeed we do. Guys, we have this question from Brad in Tennessee. He says, I grew up in a church that believed if we didn't pray, if thy will be done, and in the name of Jesus I pray, then the prayer would fall on deaf ears. I almost felt like I had to perform a magic trick at the end of the prayer for it to work. I think this way of thinking really handcuffs a Christian. The older I get, the more I understand praying without ceasing. Reading the Bible shows that prayer can change things. I know that God's permanent will is concrete, yet his will for my earthly life seems somewhat fluid. He gives me free will, yet sets my boundaries. Can you please elaborate on the importance of prayer and how it still plays a role in altering circumstances?
Yeah, well, you know, to that I would say, first of all, this is not about some sort of magic formula. I mean, prayer is mysterious. We don't know how God is going to respond. We don't have the market cornered on prayer requests. My goodness, if we did, if there were some easy formula to apply, there would be a line outside of the Basic Gospel office to get your prayers answered today exactly as you voiced them. But the reality is, look, Jesus says in John 16, ask whatever you will in my name, and he'll give it to you. Well, I think we have to ask, what does in my name mean? And we've sort of made it into those magic words that we tack on to the end of a request. But I believe Jesus is saying, hey, I'm talking about my heart. I'm talking about my agenda. I'm talking about my reputation and my glory and my name. I'm talking about, if you ask anything that is according to my heart, my plan, my agenda, then guess what? Well, that's already the very passion and inspiration of who I am, and I'm already at work doing that. Let me give you an example. I mean, I know we're tempted to pray for the mansions and the Lamborghinis and all that and then tack on in Jesus' name, but let's just look at what Paul prayed. I mean, Paul prayed that people would come to know the love and grace of God. He says, I pray that these Ephesians, that they would know how gigantic the love of Christ is. Okay, that's one example. He's praying according to the very passion of Jesus himself. Jesus wants us to know his love. He wants us to know his life. He wants us to know his presence and what it means to have this inheritance in the saints. And so that's what it means to pray according to God's heart and to pray in Jesus' name.
Bob, give us some thoughts on this great, great matching gift grant that we have.
Well, just a wonderful opportunity to be a catalyst for growth, to be a catalyst for expansion, to get this word of God, this good news concerning Christ, out to more and more people around the world. God is putting together just a powerful, powerful platform for video, for radio, and we're just going to be able to exploit those in ways like never before. So we need your help. We need you to stand with us at this critical time and to match this gift. So every dollar that you give is going to be doubled. So we're asking you to be as generous as possible as we approach the end of this year so that we can see this good news of Jesus Christ, this grace message spread like never before.
And friends, this Christmas time and while we're away until tomorrow's broadcast is a great time to prayerfully consider your most generous gift to help double that $90,000 matching gift grant that we've received. Please go online to basicgospel.net and join with us, doubling every dollar you give to support the message of grace and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. What an opportunity we have to make sure that this message goes forward like never before. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley, and everyone at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis saying thanks for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition, and I hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.